Welcome to this seminar by Wayne Drain. This is Hearing from God Through Prophecy. There is a lot of you. There's a handout for this session, but there is a lot more of you than we maybe had anticipated. But if you come to the other sessions, we'll make sure we double our handout numbers. But if you're with someone who has a handout or you have a handout, please do share with the person next to you. And if you can't see a handout, take some really good notes. So we're very privileged to have Wayne with us today. He's exceptional. I was with him last year, and he's going to talk to us about how prophecy is for all of us. It's going to be very practical, so be listening throughout the whole session. Take loads of notes. Okay? Everyone ready? Good. Good.
Well, good afternoon. Are you sleepy from lunch, or are you okay? My name is Wayne Drain. That really is the truth. I don't know what my mom was thinking, but I'm from Arkansas, which is in the southern part of the United States. I'm married to my first wife. We've been married for 45 years, just this past year. I've got three kids. I got four grandkids, and my wife chose to stay with our grandkids rather than come with me. I don't know what that's about. But she sends her greetings, and it's such a privilege and a pleasure to be with you in these important days. I'm going to be talking about prophecy over the next few classes. Today's about hearing from God through prophecy. Tomorrow we'll talk about receiving a prophetic word, and then I'll take a day off. Then the next day will be about how to weigh prophecy, how do you know that that was the Lord or the devil or your flesh or that pizza that you had for lunch? How do you know the difference? And the last day will be about discovering the art of prophecy. I'll talk about how do you know if you're just prophesy when there's a spirit of prophecy anointing, or whether there's a gift of prophecy, or whether you are an Ephesians 4 prophet. And I'll talk about how you know that. And that'll also be a day of impartation. I'll be wanting to pray prayers of impartation over those of you that are called in that area. How many of you have ever heard from God in some way that you know for sure you heard from the Lord? Fantastic. How many of you have been prophesied over before? How many of you have prophesied over other people before? Looks like my tribe is here. This is good. I'm liking it. Well, Mike asked me to come and not do a seminar, but do a workshop. So what that means to me is that there'll be time and space, hopefully, if the preacher doesn't go too long, there'll be time and space for you to be able to take some steps of faith and to move out in the prophetic yourself. Does that sound all right? I promise it won't be too painful. Nobody will get hurt too badly, and it'll be good. I'm going to look at some foundational principles today. My wife and I started a church during the Jesus movement of the 70s, and overnight at 20 years old, we found ourselves leading a church of several hundred kids. We didn't have an idea what we were supposed to do. We didn't know anything about anything. But what we had learning is that God does speak. He will speak if we ask. If we'll seek Him, He promises He'll let Himself be found. And so a prophecy came over me when I was just between 19 and 20. And the prophecy was that I would pastor a church and I would prophesy the nations. And I'll come back to that. But at that time, I'd never been outside of the United States. I'd never once entertained the possibility of being a pastor. In fact, that would be the last thing on my... It wouldn't even be on my list. I was a business major, planning on going to law school and making all the money I could and living the American dream. That was my thought. God had some other plans for me. Let me tell you, God's word, when you hear it from the Lord, it can change everything. It can put you off of a path that was going to lead down to a bad path to a good path. And so I hope that you will get comfortable with the whole idea about prophecy as we talk about it. I've been moving in a prophetic gift all these years. When I got that word about being a pastor and a prophet to the nations, nothing happened that I could tell, except I loved worship, and I started hearing from the Lord. I just started hearing things. And I didn't know what, if I was, am I psychic? Am I crazy? What's going on? And fortunately, I met a man that became my mentor that was in the Latter Rain movement in our country back in the 40s. And he let me travel with him for 3 years. And I played guitar and led worship, and he would prophesy. And he mentored me out. We're driving out through the night. He would tell me, I had 1,000 questions. And he was very, very patient, and God used him to impart some things in my life. And he went on to be with the Lord last year. At 27, I came to the UK for the first time, and I was at a meeting down in Cobham. And this guy from New Zealand was there that I'd never met. He got up and said, you are a pastor, and you're going to prophesy to nations. And I thought, well, that's second strike. Then I go over to Wales on that trip, and a Welsh lady named Rian came up, and her husband was a pastor, and she'd written down on a piece of paper, the Lord says you are a pastor and you're going to prophesy to nations. So three words, the exact same word. I thought God must be speaking to me. Now, since then, I've been to 36 nations right at my last count, and I've pastored the same church for 45 years. I just turned the church over to a younger guy last year, and so I'm going to be doing more about going to the nations in this phase of my life. But I'm telling you what, those simple little 9 or 10 words in that prophecy set the whole trajectory for my life. It gave me a no as well as a yes. I saw what I wasn't supposed to be, and I saw what I have been in the Lord and would be in the Lord. And I hope that encourages you to hear that story as we go along. I believe that everyone needs a word from God. Everyone needs a word from God. I don't think people come to our meetings just because we've got a great worship band, or we got all the smoke and mirrors, and I don't think they even come for the great preaching. I think they come hoping against hope that there is a God, and that he would see them and he would speak to them, and they could actually have a relationship with him. That's the reason that people come. So that's what I'm just going to stop for a minute and pray, and then we'll go on. Does that sound all right? Lord, thank you for this great group of people that are here today. Lord, I'm so overwhelmed that so many are here. And Lord, I just pray for ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive, and faith to take steps in, Lord. Lord, release that anointing to prophesy today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That word there from the Hebrew means spoken word. Spoken word. Spoken word. Our Creator speaks in many ways to those that have ears to hear. He speaks in 1,000 different ways. He speaks in a sunrise, a sunset, my grandson's smile. He speaks in all sorts of ways all the time. I got up the other day and I was walking out to get my paper. I still read those newspapers. And then suddenly the sun just came up and just burst in front of my eyes and just brought me to tears. And I just knew the Lord was speaking every day. The problem is not everybody sees it. Not everybody knows that they can hear him. But he speaks in all kinds of ways. My life message is he still speaks. He does speak. He is speaking, and he'll continue to speak. I've written a book called He Still Speaks. I think there's a few copies here. It's called, the subtitle is Embracing the Prophetic Today. God does communicate. Some people think that when the Bible was, the canon of Scripture was completed, that God got laryngitis, or he moved off to Jupiter or somewhere, just to his summer home, and didn't want to talk anymore. Just said, there's the book, read it. I'm not talking to you unless I have to. Don't think of God that way. I think most Christians are happy to get more information. So we study our Bibles, and we're very proud that we understand a little bit better than you do. God's about relationship. He's a lovesick father, and he wants a relationship. I love it when my daughters or my son or my grandkids call, and they say, Papa, you got a minute? Yes, I've got a minute. Everything else stops, and I'll talk to them. If I can love that way, in my human state, imagine how God can love. God does love you as sons and daughters. He does want to have a relationship. He does want to speak to you, and He wants to listen to you. All right? Can you handle that? All right. Moses wrote, just a few things here. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 8:3, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. The oldest book in the Bible, Job chapter 33, he said, for God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Many, many people do not believe that God speaks because they've never heard Him speak to them. And it's sort of been given a bad name by some TV preachers that get up and say, God just told me that you're going to send me $57 this month. No, $157. And, you know, they get these words. They hear from God all this stuff. And what they're trying to do is get in your pocket. They're not trying to get in your heart. And so we see that and we grow more and more skeptical. Let me tell you, Jesus will surpass all your dreams. He'll even give you the dreams that He wants you to have. He's not going to hurt you. He's not after your money. He's got quite a bit Himself. He owns it all. His only motive is to see you become a disciple and to see His purposes completed in your generation by you. John's gospel says believers in Jesus should expect to hear from God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me in John chapter 10. One of the ways God speaks is through a prophetic word, and that's what we'll be focusing on. Prophecy is a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 12. There's also some gifts in Romans 12 that you can read about. Prophecy, the best definition I ever found was from a Welshman named Graham Perrins. He said, prophecy is a living word from a living God to a living people. Prophecy is a living word from a living God to a living people. Now, some people, when you hear the word prophecy, they immediately go to an Old Testament perspective. Prophet's going to come in with a camel hair suit, breath smelling like locusts, honey in his beard. He's going to prophesy the doom and gloom if you don't repent and turn. Or the ground's going to open up and swallow you if you mess up. And that's how we think about the prophet or prophecy. Jesus changed everything. Jesus changed everything. He fulfilled the law and He brought in grace. He brought in grace. And so now prophecy has a different filter to look at. And that filter is in 1 Corinthians 14 if you want to be turning there. Paul had a job with the Corinthians. They were known for two things. Spiritual gifts and immorality. Now he had a little bit of a conflict of interest here. He had to figure out how to deal with that worthless thing without losing the precious thing. So he had a lot to say to the Corinthians about how to properly use spiritual gifts. Let's start with verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 14. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gifts and how they work. And then 1 Corinthians 13, he takes a time out and gives the love chapter. He talks about the perspective of love. Then he comes back in 1 Corinthians 14, and this is what he says. Verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for three reasons: strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Let that sink in for a moment. There's three reasons here for prophecy. We might say condemnation, judgment, and putting people under guilt. But that's not what it says. Three reasons for prophecy are edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification comes from words that mean to build up. It's where we get our word edifice or building. Exhortation means to call someone near to God. We think an exhortation is, you are ugly and your mom dresses you funny, thus saith the Lord. We think that's an exhortation. No, an exhortation calls someone near to God. It calls out destiny. It doesn't always just highlight what your sin is. And the third reason is comfort. Comfort means to cheer up, to console, or to comfort. I remember it this way. You might want to remember this. Edification builds up. Exhortation fires up. And comfort holds up. Any of you ever need to be built up or fired up? Sometimes you feel like you're hanging on by your fingernails and you need someone to just hold you up. There were times when I became a pastor that I thought, God, what have you done to me? Why don't you just go ahead and kill me? I can't stand these people anymore. Then he would bring those prophetic words back to me. No, I sent three people from three different nations to tell you I'd called you to pastor. Now, when you quit trying to do it in your own strength, it's going to get easier. God's tricky. He wants you to depend on Him. He wants to be asked to go with you to the movies or to the pub or wherever you go. He wants to be in your life. And he makes it so that you will never fulfill your calling in your own human strength. He'll have to go with you and help you do it. And I love that about Him. Well, there's three parts of prophecy when a prophecy comes. Revelation, interpretation, and application. Let me just go through that. You receive a revelation, like the question is, what is God saying? Say you hear a word, you're called to India. Most people want to be called to Honolulu or San Diego or somewhere like that. But say you've got a call to India and you're not quite sure about that call. So you have to find an interpretation. What does that mean? And so you weigh and you judge the word. And then the application is, well, if I do have a call to India, if that's what you're saying, then what do I do? Do I pray for India? Do I get a globe? Do I support missionaries going to India? Or, God forbid, do I go to India myself? You're not sure, but you're trying to interpret. You're trying to apply what you've interpreted at the revelation that God's given. And if you're not sure, you can still take steps of faith. I tell people all the time, I feel called to Africa. I feel called here or there. Very few people feel called to Arkansas. I don't know what that is. But I'm called here and I'm called there, but I don't know if it's really God. Is that God? I said, won't you take a step of faith? You mean go to India? No, go get a passport. Take a step of faith. You're going to need a passport if you get there. It's going to cost you about $400 if you're an American to get a passport. And that's going to separate the boys from the men right there. You know, if I'll put up a GoFundMe page, maybe somebody will send me. No, God wants you to take a step of faith. He wants you to take a step. So I tell folks, go get a passport. You're going to need one if you go anywhere. And so when people take that step of faith, then the next step of faith is a little bit easier. The next step of faith is a little bit easier. Are you with me? Well, before we get ahead of ourselves, what about the idea of cessationism? It's an idea that spiritual gifts are not for today. The line of thought is that there's no longer a need for spiritual gifts since the apostolic age ended with the death of the Apostle John and the canon of Scripture was completed. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7, "For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." Now for cessationists, people that think the gifts are not for today, they primarily come out of 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. Where says love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease and knowledge will pass away. And then verse 10 says, when perfection comes or the perfect, the imperfect disappears. Now many interpret the canon of Scripture to be the perfect. They believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. That was a theological joke there. I guess I'll have to dumb down just a little here. No. But people think that this is the perfect. This is not the perfect. The perfect is Jesus. This tells about the perfect. This is the word of the perfect one. But the perfect is Jesus. When he returns, we'll see him face to face. There'll be no need for the gifts because we will see him. This means we can expect to see the spiritual gifts right up to the end of the age. Theologian Donald G. says this, "There is nothing in Scripture, reason, or experience to make us believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. Every one of them. Every one of them." Now, we don't get to pick and choose. The Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift, but we can desire spiritual gifts. It says especially desire prophecy. Well, what is it? Prophecy? Is it a prophet? Is it a gift of prophecy? Is it just being prophetic? What does all that mean? Well, I believe there's four spheres of prophecy. And maybe you can kind of look through this filter to see where you are in that gift in your life. Four spheres of prophecy. It might help to think about the process a bricklayer goes through. I tried being a bricklayer one summer and decided very quickly it was not my calling. But I learned about it. I learned that there's four spheres of bricklaying. A bricklayer starts out as a laborer or a helper. That means they get to read the manual and they get to assist now and then. We call them flunkies back home. The second sphere, you become an apprentice. You start doing some of the stuff. You get to take some of the mud and put it on there and set a brick down until the master craftsman comes along and tears it off and says, do it again. That's the apprentice phase. The next phase is a journeyman who gets to practice his craft under the tutelage of the fourth sphere, which is a master craftsman. They not only lay the bricks, but they train others up in laying bricks. On a spiritual level, it's similar to the maturing process of those of the prophetic gift. Now, can y'all see me in the back? I'm pretty short, but you can hear me all right. Okay. Every once in a while, I just want you to wave at me to let me know that I'm reaching back there. All right. The first sphere of prophecy is what I call the prophecy of Scripture. Peter the Apostle wrote, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, no prophecy will ever contradict the principles of Scripture, ever. Ever. I had a guy come into my office once and he said, "Pastor Wayne, I'm so glad you taught me I could hear from God." And I said, "Well, good. I'm glad that you can hear from God. Let me tell you what he's saying." And I said, "Well, what's God saying to you?" "He told me that I married the wrong woman." "Oh, really?" "Yeah, I can't believe it. I made a big mistake." "What else is he saying to you?" "That the right woman was right there in my office, my secretary. So I'm to divorce my wife and I'm supposed to marry my secretary. I'm so glad I heard from God." And I said, "Well, you heard from some spirit, but it was not the Holy Spirit." "Wait a minute, I can hear from God. You told me I could." "Yes, but you're going a little bit against the Scripture here." So whenever you hear a word, sometimes subtly and not so subtly, that was not a very subtle word. It's easy to judge. But the principle is any prophecy that comes will never contradict the principles here. That's why I'm trying to lay out some of the principles for you now. I don't believe that prophets and prophetesses need to be so emotionally in tune, but so out of touch with the principles of Scripture. Sometimes we see it as a shortcut. The prophetic gift is a shortcut. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to know anything. You just get in a prophetic state and you say what you hear or what you feel and everyone thinks you're great. No, that's not how I look at it. We can all read the Scripture. The Bible calls us co-laborers. It's kind of like that bricklayer. You get to be a laborer. And the place you start is you should read the Scripture. When I first became a Christian, I heard all these folks saying all this stuff that I didn't know where it was, and I made it my aim to find it in the Scripture. And when I did, I started realizing a lot of stuff was just coming out of people. It wasn't coming out of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't coming out of the Scripture. It's coming out of people. So you need to know what the Bible says about the prophetic and about the gifts. How do you do that? Read. Read the Scripture. Make it a priority in your life. The prophecy of Scripture is the first sphere. The second sphere is called a spirit of prophecy. That's what I prayed before we started, is that a spirit of prophecy would be in this room today. A spirit, Paul explains, you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. What is the spirit of prophecy? It's a contagious anointing of the Holy Spirit. Like the time when King Saul went in among the prophets and began to prophesy. It says in 1 Samuel 10, Saul was changed into a different person when the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in the prophesying. In a sense, we begin to move from being laborers or helpers to apprentices in this realm. At home, we have seen brand new Christians and young children prophesy when there was an anointing and a spirit of prophecy was present. Sometimes as a pastor, I would get stuck and didn't know what to do. And I'd seek God and seek God and seek counsel, and I just didn't have any peace at all. And I learned that I could walk down the hall on Sunday morning and get with our children's group, who have learned that they can hear from God even as children. And I'd say, can you guys come pray with me? And I say, we try to teach them to respect their adults. And so they'll say, Mr. Wayne, or they'll say, Pastor Wayne. And I'll say, Mr. Wayne or Pastor Wayne, I want you to just come and pray for me. I've got a big decision I've got to make by next Tuesday, and I don't know what to do. Would you pray for me? So I just sit in a chair, and I bow my head, and these little hands lay all over my shoulders and arms and legs and feet. And then you hear a little voice, and little six-year-old boy said, Pastor Wayne, I just hear the Lord saying that there's two doors going to open on Tuesday. One's bad, and one's good. But you're going to think the bad one is the good one, but the good one is really looks like the bad one. And so there'll be two doors open on Tuesday. You go through the door that looks like the bad one. He says, y'all want to go out and play ball now? And that was it. The next Tuesday, two doors open. One looked good, one looked bad. Guess which door I took? The one that looked bad turned out to be the one that was good. And I heard from a little six-year-old boy. Let me tell you, we can all prophesy when the spirit of prophecy is in the place. You need to teach your kids that they can hear from God and they can prophesy on His behalf. If we can accept Numbers 22, the account of God speaking through a donkey, we should be open to God speaking through men and women, boys and girls who are made in God's image. Sphere number one, prophecy is scripture. Sphere number two, a spirit of prophecy. Sphere number three is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy, listen to this, prophecy is a gift, not a reward. It's a gift, not a reward. You don't get rewarded by a gift because you somehow jumped higher and danced faster and worshiped louder and did more things for God than somebody else. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit decides. You don't have to compete for it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3 gives the context for how the gift of prophecy should work. Remember I said Paul was attempting to correct and adjust the Corinthians to keep the spiritual gifts. What they were doing is they were getting real excited and they were competing with each other. This guy would give up and give a long message in tongues, which Paul would say you need to have an interpretation. But before he got done, this gal would get up and she would start a long diatribe in an unknown language. Then this person would. Then that person would. They were competing and trying to draw attention to themselves. And Paul said, let's put this in a fitting and an orderly way. So he says this. Well, first of all, let me tell you that Paul was attempting to adjust the Corinthians, who had a right experience but a wrong theology of spiritual things. They had a Greek mythology background of believing that there were many Greek gods who were always at war with each other. But for the Christian, there's only one God, and he's in unity with himself. The Corinthians didn't yet understand how the Spirit works, so Paul said, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things, so don't continue thinking like the pagans that you once were. He explains further in verse 4 through 10 of chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Then he lists the gifts of the Spirit, like faith and healing and miraculous powers. He says, to another is given the gift of prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, and on and on. There's other gifts mentioned in Romans 12 as well. But in a nutshell, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, it's very important. Now, listen to this. A motivation or a desire to prophesy needs to be centered in love, not in ambition, not in competition, not in drawing attention to myself. It needs to be done in love. Well, how do we know if someone has a gift of prophecy? It's like that journeyman who starts laying bricks regularly under supervision. Well, in our small groups, in our youth groups, in our worship group, whatever group that we have at home, we encourage them to worship and pray and hear the Lord. Don't just come up with the latest set from Tom Smith. Hear what songs the Lord wants you to do. What's God saying? And so we'll always be listening to God and praying and worshiping. And then in one of those groups, somebody will have a word. Then that same person will have a word the next week and the week after that. Now, we have lots of folks that give lots of words, and they aren't always the greatest words. Heard one guy say, thus saith the Lord, yay, yay, yay. Another guy got up and said, thus saith the Lord, I forgettest thy name. I don't think so. I don't think God would forget your name. So people really want to prophesy, but they don't always get it right. But somebody will start to prophesy and they'll get it right. The next week they'll get it right. The next week they'll get it right. Then one of the group leader will come to the team, our leadership team, and say, you know, Johnny over in this small group is bringing the best prophetic words week after week after week. So we recognize they have a gift of prophecy, and we spend time with them to develop it. We take them along with us, and we get them up prophesying. Like the gal that got up earlier and introduced today, Shiona, she was my assistant last year. And just before we came here, I said, okay, Shiona, thing I haven't told you you got to do is you got to prophesy. And she said, what? I'm just supposed to introduce and take care of you. I said, well, you're going to take care of me. I want you prophesying. What does that mean? Well, get you a piece of paper and start looking at people and God will give you words. Look what she's doing today. That's what she's doing right now. She's still mad at me about it, I think. Gift of prophecy, someone who regularly prophesies under supervision with appropriate accountability. The fourth sphere is the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet is one of the grace gifts God gives the body of Christ through a man or a woman. It's a foundational, equipping, master craftsman sort of gift. Paul explains it like this in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It was he, or God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. This is why, to prepare or equip God's people for their works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Between phase one and phase four is usually a period of time. You don't just become a prophet. It says in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. I was called a pastor a long time before I got any good at it. I was hearing stuff from God a long time before I was able to prophesy with any regularity. It was a long time from trying to figure out what's going on with church to becoming somebody that could lay foundations in a church. Be patient about the gifts. Charismatics are in such a hurry. I want all the gifts and I want them right now. No, be patient. You may be thankful sometimes that you don't have one of these gifts, but let me just, I'm going very fast because I want to have enough time to prophesy over some of you. But let me consider one more area, and it's personal prophecy. How's that supposed to work? My book explores that. Over here, I often hear a Brit saying prophetic appointments. That's where someone, you go to their church, and I've got 20 prophetic appointments. They start at 2 o'clock. Every 15 minutes, you got a prophetic appointment. And I've learned to work within that. It seems a little bit out of character for me, but I've learned to work in that. But it all comes from a word in season. Where does that come from? King Solomon said in Proverbs 15, to make an apt answer is a joy to man and a timely word in season, how good it is. It just means there's a timeliness about the word. It's not life-defining. Like my word to be a pastor and a prophet was life-defining. It may not be life-defining. Paul's word to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 says, I charge, I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them, or the prophecies that were made about you, you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. And by rejecting these, some have shipwrecked their faith. He went on to say in chapter 3, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message from the body of elders or the presbyteros laid their hands on you. One quick story. A few years ago, my friend Tom Lane, that we co-wrote the book together, a pastor at Gateway Church in Texas, he came to our church and he was prophesying over people. And let me give you some backstory. There's a couple that really felt called to go to Taiwan and to minister there. He was a firefighter, just about to hit retirement age. She worked in a salon. She was a hairdresser. And for them to respond, they would have to quit their jobs, sell their house, move to Taiwan. They're so clear they'd heard from God, but they needed to see it confirmed because that was big steps to take at that point in their life. So Micah, the man, came in and he said, Pastor Wayne, I need a yes, a clear yes. I need to make sure that you're not going to tell those guys anything about me. And I said, Micah, I never would. So he comes to our weekend, a prophetic weekend. Friday night he comes, nothing. Saturday, nothing. Sunday morning, nothing. Sunday night, our last meeting. We're just about to wrap up the meeting. Micah hadn't heard a thing. He's sitting in the back row. Tom gets up and says, I just have one word, literally one word. Three times, one word. That guy right back there, he had him stand up. His name was Micah. I hear the Lord saying, yes. Yes, yes. That's all Micah needed to hear. And he ended up going to Taiwan. And when he got over there, and it was really, really hard. They didn't lead anybody to the Lord the first year they were there. He was really getting discouraged. Then he kept remembering, no, I've got a word from God. I've got a yes. The second year, they start leading people to the Lord. They start planting churches. They start doing all kinds of things. They've been going in that ministry now for about 12 years. It's an amazing story of how that came. Personal prophecy can be used to proclaim the gospel. I'm not going to get into that right now just because I'm running out of time. Let me see what else I want to say. Okay, here's what I want to do. We're going to do a workshop. I'll come if I can squeeze it in tomorrow, I'll share some about that tomorrow. What I want to do right now is I want to give some words that I have, and the team may have some words as well. And I want you to be looking around at the three or four people nearest you and asking God if he will give you a word for them. Now, remember, it's not about judgment. It's not about calling out sin. It's about encouragement, edification, exhortation, comfort. That's what it's about. All right? I'm going to give you just a few minutes to prepare. We're going to give these words that we have. Let me just start. And here's how it works for me. I'll look out and I'll see somebody that my eyes just keep coming back to. I think sometimes the eyes really are the window of the soul. But I looked at this young lady here with the white hair and the maroonish top. Can you just shout out your name? Patty? I can't hear that. Okay, got it. Here's what I had for you. It's good that you're here today. I come to tell you things will be okay. You're walking in the right direction. Fear's not your friend. Anxiety is not helpful. Let your faith rise to defeat fear. Let the peace of God push back anxiety. Be still. Things will be okay. Be at peace. Now let me ask you, did that discourage you? It encouraged you? Does it make sense? Can you relate to it in your life? All of it. Now, all I knew is a beautiful young lady with white hair right there, and God just started telling me this word. And he said, tell her it's good that she's here today. And if that's all I'd gotten, that's all I would have given. But he went on to give me some other things as well. Team, do you have something for her? Come on, give it. There's another mic right here.
Hello.
Did you two come together? Good. I got something that said, that God wants to use you guys and ignite you to work with women in your church, and that he wants to fire them up for ministry in your church and that in your community with other women. In your obedience, his Holy Spirit fire will come and ignite your ministry, and there'll be an awakening for them in your obedience, and to make sure you step out, speak up, and listen to him. Oh, by the way, you can all come and collect these at the end.
Is Pastor Paul and the Honolulu team here? Any of your team from Honolulu here?
Wayne?
If you're from the Presbyterian Church in Honolulu, would you stand up so I can see who I'm prophesying to? Is Pastor Paul in here? Pastor Dan. It was the Lord's good pleasure to bring you here. The Holy Spirit is equipping and empowering you to be a voice to your people and your denomination. A voice is only as effective as when communicating what the Lord is saying. What you are hearing and seeing, you will be doing and teaching. Your teaching combining with demonstration will give you a broader voice that many will hear. A growing hunger to hear God's voice, understand his ways, and see his works is building in the body of Christ. As you seek him, the Holy Spirit will empower you to be his witnesses. Signs and wonders will follow your acts of kindness and your prayer-driven ministry. The Lord is giving you your voice. He is showing you his ways and calling you to good works. Maintain your unity in the bond of peace and speak with one voice as the Holy Spirit leads you. Amen. Does that resonate? You can be seated. You guys want to come up and give something? You guys back there? Come on. Run up here like a big dog.
Don't stand in front of us. Just the gentleman in the salmon top with the black curly hair. Yes, you. Yeah, what was your name? Sorry? Nick? Cool. Nick, can you stand up? Sorry, mate. So, Nick, I just feel like God was saying that you're a spiritual weightlifter, and I just got this picture of you doing a clean and jerk, and sometimes when you're weightlifting, they'll put straps on your wrist as well to kind of give that support. And I feel like God's saying that maybe right now you're lifting a heavy load or things might be a bit tough, but God's saying he's actually providing you that strength. He's coming behind you and also providing that support to actually lift those things. And he might actually be giving you things to looking forward to, or things that you're like, I can't do that by myself, or I can't do that. And God's like, yes, I'm going to give you that strength and help you through that. Yes. Cool.
Yeah, I've got something for that gentleman there in the checkered shirt with the brown. Yep, you. what's your name? Dylan. Oh, fantastic. Do you have a desire to work in ministry in church? No? okay. Well, I feel like God's saying to pursue some righteousness and listen to he's talking to you. He's here.
Can I just say to you that everybody has a pulpit? Everybody's called to ministry. Your ministry may not be traditional, but I agree. I think there is a call to ministry in your life, and it's right where you are, and I think it's all around you. You just need to realize you have a pulpit. Amen. You got something
sweet? Oh, yeah. I'm loaded. I've had lots of practice from last year. I got one for this lady here in the black hoodie. What's your name? Yep. Sarah. Hello, Sarah. I got one that said that he recognizes you and you are familiar to him. He wants to greet you this week like old friends that never stopped loving each other. He will reunite with you like the ways you used to and more. And this week is about reuniting, and then direction will come, and the next instructions will follow.
Sarah, could you stand up? When Sarah was 14, I prophesied over her that she would have a gift of healing. And won't you tell them what you do?
Yeah, so that was really encouraging because we were there and I was just allowed out late and I was a kid and I was like, oh, I wonder if God wants to say something to me. And I was sort of hoping, but a bit afraid. But anyway, so now I did hear from God when I was 7 that I should be a doctor. And then I had a bit of a wobble because I thought it would be really stressful when I had my exams. But then Wayne had that prophecy that I would take my healing to the nations. And since then, so I'm a pediatrician, I'm a children's doctor. And I have been to India and South Africa and Uganda and done some stuff there with that. And I hope there'll be more places. But it was a real encouragement when I had a big wobble to keep going.
Isn't that good? Give the Lord a hand clap there. You can read about Sarah's story on my website. I've got this thing called Yellow Sheet Stories that because I write these down on a yellow sheet, so they're yellow sheet stories, and you can read about that. Man with a hat, soul T-shirt, right side, right there. Shout out your name.
Dave.
Can you stand up, Dave? Let him see that beautiful hat. Dave, there's a clear call on your life. You are going to be a gifted communicator. Often your humor will open up the door. Yes, some of your jokes are funny. Some of them are. But a timely word with prophetic insight will flow more freely in the days ahead. Just don't try so hard. Don't complicate your message. Keep it simple. Keep it about Jesus. Be of good cheer. Share the gospel. Call of God's on your life. Amen. Anybody else? Tall guy with the brown hoodie and the cap was sitting right in this area somewhere. Had a ball cap, a gray ball cap. He was wearing a brown hoodie when he came in. Yes, stand up and shout out your name.
My name's Todd.
Todd. Todd, you have an excellent spirit like Daniel. I'm getting some feedback back here. That wasn't God, that was me. I'm getting some feedback. You have an excellent spirit of a Daniel and a heart like David. Leadership is on you. Greatness is in you. Just let the past go. Let it go. Don't let it define you. Step up in faith. Don't worry. Be happy. Go sing that song. Don't worry. Be happy. Amen. Got it.
I got something as well. Mine's up. There we go. It's working. I got, God wants to use you more where you work, and you're going to help normalize God for those that are skeptical and lift the stereotypes of Christians for non-believers. Welcome him into your workplace each day and keep your ears open and he will guide you. There is a particular person there that he wants to use to bring revelation.
This might not work because I can't find you anymore, but there's a gentleman that had a grey jumper, I think, up the back, and he also had a camping seat that had a green cover. If not, I'll find you later. Yeah? Could be you. I actually had this word this morning when I woke up, but what was your name, sorry?
Yemi.
It just felt like God gave me this picture of this bullet train in Japan, and he was kind of saying there's going to be a mass acceleration on you, and potentially there's been promises that God has given you, and you're kind of like, where are they? It's kind of like this coal train, they haven't quite come. And God's just saying there's going to be just a period and a season just of acceleration where those promises are actually going to start to come to fruition. Bless you.
I've got one for this young guy in the middle in the brown, like, African shirt thing. Yeah, you there. Yeah, you. Yeah. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris? Great, perfect. I got that God wants to give you more fullness and in his name that people would see a difference in you after this week. And this week he will start to implant a new purpose and a direction for you this week. And I got the words becoming alive.
Amen. All right. I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? Just before that, if you received a prophetic word, would you stand up real quick and let me just pray for those that received a word? The Honolulu folks, anybody that received a word from any of us, just stand up. And if you're near, put your hand on their shoulder if it's all right with them. And then I just want to pray. Father, I pray for all these that received a word today. I ask you, God, to let them encourage and strengthen, build up, affirm, confirm, comfort. Let them be so happy that the King of Glory saw them, knows them, spoke to them today to build them up. We bless them today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Have a seat. I'm sorry I'm going so fast. We only had an hour. We had an hour and a half last year, but just an hour. But here's what I want you to do. They're locking the doors and they're bolting them back there for the next 7 minutes. Nobody can leave. Here's what I want you to do is I want you to just right where you are, just hook up with about two or three people. And what I want you to do is get quiet. And I want you to just look at them for a second and then say, Lord, is there a word you want me to give them? We'll give you about 3 minutes to do that in silence. Then I'm going to ask you to give the word that you had. All right, let's do that. Okay, I want you to open your eyes, and your word doesn't have to be long. It doesn't even have to be a sentence. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. It can be a picture. It can be a word. But I want you to just, if you know them, then you know them. But if you don't know them, just say, introduce yourself, and just say, here's a word I have for you. All right? And then you just give the one word you had, then let the others in that group give the word that they had. All right, you're just going to have about 4 minutes to do this. And try not to talk really loudly, just loud enough to the folks by you to hear. All right. Okay, let me ask you a few questions. Did anyone hear a word from someone else that you believe was right and encouraged you? Let me see your hands. Wow. Wow. Did anybody get hurt or die? No, no. You know, this gift is wonderful. It's wonderful, but it doesn't have to be weird. It should be natural. It's supernatural, but it should be as natural as talking to your friend at school or talking to your neighbor or going to a movie and you're in line and you talk to someone. Because God's people are a prophetic sign to the world. We're His feet. We're His hands. We get that part. But we need to know that we're His voice. He speaks to us so that we can speak to others. I'm going to pray a prayer over you that this prophetic anointing, the spirit of prophecy, would just be embraced. And wherever you are in that spectrum of those four spheres, that God would just lead you. Now, do you have to be a prophet? No. You know, do you have to have a gift of prophecy? No. But you all are expected to hear from God. Jesus expects you to know His voice. So do your due diligence and get quiet and listen and write down what God says. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, how to receive a prophetic word. I hope some of you will come back, that I haven't freaked you out too much. Did my team do well the first time out? I thought they were great. Well, everybody, put your hand on your heart, and I'm just going to pray for you, and we'll be done. You can stay and visit, I suppose, unless you got to get to another class. Let me just close your eyes, and let me just pray. Lord, I thank You for this wonderful group of people. Lord, in this room are part of the people across the world that are Your glorious ones, in whom is all Your delight. These are the ones that will be a prophetic sign to the grocery store, to Costco's, to schools, to business, in that field of medicine. Wherever they go, they will be a prophetic sign. Lord, give them their voice. I pray for a prophetic anointing to fall on all those that have a desire for it, all those that will receive. Holy Spirit, You're a gentleman. You will not force your way down anyone's throat. You will not make us do anything. It's not Your way. But if we will desire, You'll meet that desire with Your gift and Your anointing. And You'll use us to encourage and strengthen and comfort. And many of those that we give that word to will become believers. And we'll tell them, You belong to a God who speaks. You're a prophetic sign. You're going to share His word with others. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folks. Class tomorrow's at 2. Appreciate you.